You've enjoyed hearing Chuck Swindoll's message on the Insight for Living broadcast. And now you can study the Bible alongside Chuck using the same outline he uses. Based on the principles in Chuck's book called Searching the Scriptures, each program is paired with an online resource called Searching the Scriptures Studies, or STS Studies for short. They're absolutely free, and you can use them online or download the PDFs and print them out. In fact, make copies for your small group if you wish. Each study will guide you through the biblical text of the current broadcast, show you how to glean profound truths from God's Word, help you understand, apply, and communicate God's Word, and give you simple Bible study steps anyone can follow. Chuck's goal is to help you experience the joy of searching the Scriptures on your own. He says it's like preparing a good meal and then sitting at the banquet table of God's Word. So what are you waiting for? Access the free materials at insight.org/studies. Again, that's insight.org/studies. Grand stories that become too familiar sometimes lose their original impact. After all, when you know how the plot develops, how the crisis comes to a peak, and how the story resolves, it tends to pull the suspense right out of the moment. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll urges us to relive an epical event as if we're hearing it for the first time. He's describing the frightening moment when Abraham brought his son Isaac to an altar of fire. Chuck titled today's message, An Aging Father and His Son. And we begin with prayer.
On this Sunday across our land, this day has been set aside as a day of prayer. Prayer for those who lead us as a nation, our president, his cabinet, those who serve alongside him. Prayer for our military who help sustain our liberty. Prayer for those houses of worship that continue to declare the truth. Prayer for this land in such great need. We in this generation cannot remember a worse time for us to go through as a country. Even wartime, we were together. Even during deep, difficult trials, when tragedy struck, we were pulling together. We are now a divided people. All across this nation, there are divisions, harsh words. Very difficult time to lead this country. May we pray for those who do and those who preserve our freedom. Please bow with me. Lord, you have promised if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, you will hear from heaven. You will forgive sin, our sins, and you will heal our land. Heal us, O Lord, merciful Father. Lead us in your way. Use your truth to bring counsel to those who lead. Open the mouths of those who give advice and direction to our president, to those who serve alongside him. Direct us in your way, our Father, and provide protection in this violent era in which we live. May we see the results of our day of prayer, and may we sense your hand upon us. Give special blessing to those who wear the uniform, those who lead troops in training, in preparation, and in decision regarding battle. May they be given wisdom, patience, understanding, and may we all be given grace to live in harmony with one another for your greater glory. We now give our gifts with confidence that you will use them for your purposes in your time and in your way. Use these gifts as you bless those who give. And may those who receive your Son know a peace they've never known before. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called An Aging Father and His Son.
God graciously fulfilled his promise to Abraham and his wife Sarah. It came late in their lives, but he fulfilled it. He had told them, you will have a son. You too will have a son. It would be through this son that the nations of the earth would be blessed. This was a child of promise. Not only did he mean much to Abraham because of Abraham's age, but he was the fulfillment of the wonderful promise of God. That dad loved that boy. Out of the blue, God broke the silence and spoke to Abraham. And the epical event was initiated. All Abraham knows is the command to sacrifice his son. We're told why at the very beginning of the 22nd chapter of Genesis, God tested Abraham's faith. It wasn't a test between the love of a father and a son. It was a test of faith between a man and his God. God came to the place where he needed to have proof, or he chose to have proof, of Abraham's faith in him. Will his faith in me be greater than his love for his boy? Abraham, Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. He has no idea why God calls to him out of the blue. Here I am. Take your son, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a whole burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Doesn't even tell him which mountain yet. That's all Abraham knows. That command is an epical moment no one expected, least of all 115-year-old or more father who adores his son. I find here three responses in the verses that follow. The first response is immediate. Notice in verse 3, the next morning, Abraham got up early. There's nothing said about the night before. We're not told of any complaining, any pleading, bargaining, discussion with God in prayer. We're not told of any wrestling, any reluctance, We're told only he got up early. He got up early, saddled his donkey, took two of his servants with him along with his son Isaac, probably had to awaken Isaac. There are no words of explanation. In the narrative, there is no dialogue until later. The second thing I notice about the response, it is based on faith alone. He chopped the wood. He got the torch. He set out for the place God had told him to go. It was a long ways away, 3 days' journey along the way. And it's all based on faith in his God. Abraham knew that his God has never done anything wrong, nor would he ever be cruel, though he will be filled with mystery and surprise. You remember that if you're clinging to something and you cannot figure out why you can't hang on to it, because it is slipping from you. Abraham knows it's only a matter of time before his son will literally go up in smoke. There is no hesitation. Please observe, the first one to break the silence is the son, Isaac. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servant. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. Please read carefully the next words. We will worship there, and then we will come right back." Will you observe what he calls the sacrifice? Worship. And will you also notice the pronoun in the return? Not "I will come back," but "we will come back." He was told to sacrifice his son, but he says, "We are going to worship and we will return. We will come right back." To appreciate that and understand how he could say it, we need the help of Hebrews 11. So please, turn quickly to Hebrews 11. Verse 17, 18, and 19. Hebrews 11, 17. "It was by faith Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, 'Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted.'" Now look closely at the reason he was able to do it. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. That's how he could do it. How could he do it? It's called faith. Believing that God is great enough, if I take the life of my son, to bring my son back to life, and he and I walk back down that trail to where the servants are waiting with the donkey, and we go back to our home. We will worship. We will return. The Lord is saying to him, in effect, "I want your whole heart." And that's exactly what Abraham gave him. The instructions were that clear. I found these words meaningful from Oswald Chambers as he develops the whole idea of total abandonment. Those are words you'll not read in today's media, or you'll not hear them either. in a secular, saturated society like ours, you will not read of total abandonment. We're in a meism age where it's all about us. But in God's plan, it's all about Him. So we live our lives in total abandonment to God, or we should. Listen to what Oswald Chambers writes in his work, My Utmost for His Highest. Listen carefully. Faith is the heroic effort of your life. You fling yourself in reckless abandon and confidence on God. God has ventured all in Jesus Christ to save us. Now He wants us to venture our all in abandoned confidence in Him. The real meaning of eternal life is a life that can face anything it has to face without wavering. Again and again, you will get up to what Jesus Christ wants, and every time you will turn back when it comes to that point until you abandon resolutely. Jesus Christ demands that you risk everything you hold by common sense and leap into what He says. Christ demands of the one who trusts Him the same reckless spirit that is daring enough to step out of the crowd and bank his or her faith on the character of God. I love that. That's exactly what Abraham does. His response was immediate. His response was based on faith alone. And now I notice his response is thorough and complete. Walk with the two of them as they make their way up the mountain. Verse 6, Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, we have the torch and the wood. Where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Abraham's response is worth a second look. Your Bible reads, God will provide. He said more than that. He responded, Elohim yira'lo. Elohim yira'lo, which means the Lord Himself will provide. In other words, it's all in His hands. I don't know where the sheep is. I don't know what God's plan is. He Himself will provide that. I think it's gracious of Abraham not to get too specific. He leaves it in the hands of the Lord. As he releases his boy to the Lord at this point, the Lord Himself will provide. What's amazing? There's no further dialogue. I'm as impressed with the silence of Isaac as I am with the words of Abraham. I mean, it's fairly obvious, isn't it, that if we don't have an animal, He may be the one. When they arrived, as they both walked on together, then when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, look at this. Abraham built an altar, no words are spoken. He tied his son, who didn't try to run, who didn't answer back, there's no pushback. And he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. I will tell you, I read that in my study aloud a number of times to try to enter into the moment with one of my own boys. Talk about an epical experience. He lays Isaac on the altar. He lifts up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. Would he have done it? Absolutely. This is not about a father's love for son. This is about a father's faith in his God. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here am I," is the response. By the way, if you don't think punctuality is important, take a look at that verse. Dispatched from heaven, the angel of the Lord directly came to Abraham there on that mountain, called his name, and carried the message from God directly to Abraham's ears. And Isaac, laying tied on the altar, hears the name of his father and the words of the angel, "Look, don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know." That's what the test was all about. I hate to interrupt the story, but I have to say that when such tests occur, you will not know at the time what they are about. But those tests come, and you will realize later when it all becomes clear. Abraham hears, "Now I know." Know what? "Now I know you truly fear God." The word fear is not a word for fright. Not that he's afraid of God. It's a word of respect. "Now I know that I alone am number one. Now I know that I mean more to you than anything on the planet. Now I know." Proof positive. You passed with flying colors. Put the knife away. Lay down the torch. We'll use it later, but not with Isaac. "Now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your only son."
Even though most of us know how the story ends, be sure to listen again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll concludes his message about an aging father and his son. I think you'll be surprised by the additional insight Chuck brings, and more importantly, we'll come to understand its application to your life and mine. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Our current four-part study has never before been shared on the broadcast, and we're confident God will use this biblical teaching to accomplish his purposes. This is based on experience because we hear every day from friends who tell us their personal stories of life change. Not long ago, for instance, we received a beautiful handwritten letter from a man who's serving a 22-year prison sentence. He said he listens to Insight for Living every single day, taking personal notes along the way. His letter starts, "Mr. Swindoll, after hearing that this is the 40th anniversary of your ministry, the Lord brought to my memory how long I've followed your teaching." And then he said, "I want to support Insight for Living so God may use it to touch another heart with hope, just as you've touched mine." He closed with a verse from 2 Timothy 2, "Even if we are unfaithful, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is." Yes, God is faithful, and we know that he can break through any barrier, even prison walls, to reach men and women from every walk of life with His redeeming love. When you give to Insight for Living, you're becoming the channel God uses to touch hearts. In that sense, you have a ministry of your own. And few people have more impact than those who elect to become monthly companions. A monthly companion is someone who gives a donation every month, bringing stability and strength as we continue to provide this daily program. To become a monthly companion today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, the number is 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or you can sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion.
Imagine what it would be like to share communion at the Garden Tomb near Jerusalem. Or picture yourself floating in a boat on the calm, scenic Sea of Galilee.
Isn't it time you saw the Holy Land? Join Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Whether it's your first time or your fifth or sixth time, you will love traveling with newfound friends and family who share a similar love and respect for the land of Israel.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries.
You'll learn a lot, yes, but this isn't an academic trip. We squeeze every possible opportunity to ensure your encounters in the Holy Land include quiet moments just between you and the Savior.
Join us March 1st through 12th, 2020, by calling 888-447-0444. That's 888-447-0444. Or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to listen again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll tells the rest of Abraham's story. That's Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, An Aging Father and a Son, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.